From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As large segments of the American population remain under quarantine orders to beat the scourge of the COVID-19 pandemic, there is a predictable surge in the consumption of film and television. Today, we'll take a break from the current political situation and flash back to the politics of nearly 50 years ago through the lens of a new television series on Hulu called Mrs. America. The show features the political battle over women's rights through the activism of right-wing figures like Phyllis Schlafly, as well as more well-known left-wing figures like Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug, and the nation's first African-American female presidential candidate, Shirley Chisholm. Chisholm's challenge to George McGovern at a time when President Richard Nixon was the incumbent mirrors so many of the political battles that played out just now between Senator Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden as Trump runs for re-election. Joining me to take a look at and review this new television series, Mrs. America, is Stephanie Abraham. She's a writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazine Makeshift and was a founding editor of Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Bitch magazine. And she is our pop culture correspondent and film critic. Welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you, Sonali.
So as I was watching this show, and so far there's been three episodes released, I got so much deja vu. And there seemed to be sort of two major themes around this political show. One is the battle over women's reproductive rights, which, as you and I are talking, the Supreme Court is deciding on a case around abortion. And then there's this battle over the political establishment, or within the political establishment, about who gets to represent Americans, a battle that feels like we just fought and maybe are still fighting. I don't know if the people who made this film intended for it to be so prescient. What do you think?
I think they knew what they were doing. Yeah, I think it was intentional. It was coming from, I think, that since 2015, it's been a work in progress, that it's actually out now is very, very timely. I mean, I think we're definitely in the midst of culture wars. You talk about it all the time on the show. And you can see, you know, Phyllis Schlafly, who's this very right-wing woman played by Kate Blanchett. So she's the main character and the executive producer on the show. She really sort of founded she was a leader in the current right-wing fundamentalist movement. And if it weren't for her, you know, the ERA wouldn't have passed.
This is the Equal Rights Amendment, which is also a battle that is still continuing.
Yeah, and honestly, that's why it's so difficult for me to watch this show. I think it does a lot of things right. But it just like bubbles up this rage in me to see how this, you know, these platitudes about the American family life is going to be, decaying, sort of these like slogans that are still really being used today and confusing people. So I think it's doing the job it set out to do in that way.
So the film series or the television series shows this very sort of prominent right-wing conservative character played, as you said, by Kate Blanchett. One of the things that struck me was that she and her colleagues are trying to outdo the well-known feminists at that time, the women like Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem, et cetera, Bella Abzug. But they, in order to battle them, have to step out of their comfort zone, have to step out of the homes to make the case that women belong in their homes. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and apparently she received a lot of criticism because of that. But basically, she's a really smart woman. She has a master's that she finished in 1945. She was really passionate about arms and Russia and things like that. And she just could get no traction because of sexism and male domination. She was ignored steadily over and over. And she sort of figured out that she could find a niche in fighting against women's rights, ironically, that men were willing to concede power to her to be the mouthpiece to fight the ERA. And it also shows sort of how the right wing, or actually grassroots movements, can be born. I mean, she sent out a newsletter from her living room to conservative women, and then and she really did succeed in making sure the ERA didn't pass. So the ERA, as you said, the Equal Rights Amendment, was first proposed in 1921. Okay, so we're talking about 100 years, which is also why this conversation's so frustrating, that it still hasn't been passed. It gained steam in 1971. It flew by Congress, and all it had to do was be ratified in 38 states. And it was basically posed as a nonpartisan bill, or bipartisan. Like, everyone was just going to approve it, because in that moment after the 60s and going into the feminist movement, how could they say that women didn't deserve equal rights? And Phyllis sort of got wind of that and started saying that it was going to make sure that girls were going to be drafted. And this is in Vietnam. So she used that as a fear tactic, that you know, women would no longer be able to be homemakers. And what's really gross is, well, to get out of the film or out of their home, sort of what you proposed is they end up winning in Chicago. Chicago or Illinois was going to pass it. And they end up, and the women are very uncomfortable protesting because they're moms and homemakers, and they're like, what are we going to say? And she's like, we're going to do what we do best. And they bake bread, and they pass out bread to all the congressmen that says, from the bread makers to the bread winners. And so
so this is in the state of Illinois, because this battle for the Equal Rights Amendment was being fought state by state. And at that time, this liberal state of Illinois, it was expected to be a shoo-in. But Phyllis Schlafly and her cohort of women baked bread, and I believe they also offered jam to the congressman, and it was mostly men, of course, who ended up voting against the ERA because they were bought off by some bread.
That's right. And there's only one line that kind of does a nod of, I think Gloria Steinem's character says it, like, oh, so they're, you know, the way to a man's stomach really is through the, or to their brain is through their stomach, or it's just something about chauvinism. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the flaws with the show is that it's really, what it does well is it shows internalized sexism well, and how, like, Schlafly's character, you know, part of why she takes on the ERA is she's in a meeting and she is asked by all these men to take notes. And she's sort of like raging about that. And then she hears the protesters outside, and she sort of turns that rage that is fit for the men around her who have diminished her because she's female. And she puts it on the female protesters. So I think it does a good way of showing that it's easier for women to channel their rage against other women instead of the systemic oppression of sexism and male domination, or against men. But I think it kind of takes it too far, and it ends up being like, oh, it's this story is about conservative women against radical women. And it sort of lets men off the hook, and also the systemic oppression, the sexism. It has a nod to the Me Too movement, and it shows that both Phyllis, like, she's coerced into having sex with her husband against her will, which we can easily call rape. And then it shows, you know, Steinem's character, her boss, making comments about her beautiful legs. So it sort of shows how Me Too is like, all these women are being hit by it. But I think it lets men and this system off the hook.
Well, let's actually watch the trailer of the Hulu series Mrs. America, which is what we're discussing with our pop culture correspondent, Stephanie Abraham. Here is the trailer of the series.
I am not against women. I am not against women working outside the home. But what I am against is the women's liberation movement.
Who the hell jealous Phyllis Schlafly.
We need to get the word out quickly. We want the right to be a mother, the right to be a wife. The liberals want to create a sex-neutral feminist totalitarian nightmare.
Do you know what you're saying has no basis in fact?
Our movement is about fighting the oppression of all women.
We do not want housewives thinking that we are against them.
We are against them.
Revolutions are messy. How long are we supposed to wait? How much time do we give people to adapt to change? Or am I the only one who's so f***ing tired of waiting?
This fight is not about equality.
We no longer will be prisoners in the same.
It's about power. That's why
we're and I'm just getting started.
We are a political movement, not a sorority.
So now we're not going to have people we disagree with participate?
We don't get to decide how the battle lines are drawn.
You get so mean.
I have let you run around this country with your cause.
It's our cause.
Did you really think there'd be no casualties?
And that is the trailer of the brand new Hulu series, Mrs. America, focusing on the politics of nearly 50 years ago. I want to take a look at the character of Shirley Chisholm, played by Uzo Adoba. I thought very beautifully played. And this is a character that often gets lost in the history books. Shirley Chisholm was the first African-American woman to run for president. And her politics line up somewhat with the politics of the white feminists, but not completely. And some of the, her challenge to the then liberal Senator George McGovern really mirrored for me the battle between Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former Vice President Joe Biden during the election we're in today. I don't know how intentional that was, but what did you make of that, those analogies?
I definitely saw that parallel as well. And, you know, one thing the show doesn't get right is the extent to which the conservative movement under Phyllis was racist and white supremacist. It sort
of downplays it. They have a few hints of it, yeah.
Yeah, they sort of make her an accidental racist, an accidental racist, but not like a real all hands on deck one.
And was she? Is there documented evidence of showing Schlafly's racism?
Yes, she was against the Republicans' party's civil rights movement. And even she passed in 2016. And even in that year, she was going off about illegal aliens on her radio show. And she wrote a book about Trump. The conservatism of Trump and why he was needed. So she openly supported him and his racist tactics. So that's really unfortunate. BuzzFeed has a great article. It's called Hollywood Casts a Very Flattering Light on Right-Wing White Women. And I think they do. But in this episode about Shirley that you've brought up, you know, the first Black woman to run for president, they do a good job showing the intersectionality of her experience, of the experience of women of color, and also the unfortunate way that people sell each other out hoping to get a gain. And I sort of see that happening with Biden, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter. We just have to beat Trump, you know, and that's the line there that they just need to, they need to defeat Nixon. And as a result, women really get sold out. Women's rights get sold out. They don't end up moving an inch on reproductive rights. And Shirley is sort of, she's abandoned by the feminists. Because they think that they won't be able to get anywhere with women's rights unless it's a man's face doing it. And she's also abandoned by the Black caucus because they don't think she's Black enough because she's female, which is the common experience that women of color have to endure and bump up against.
Now, and just a side note, not to necessarily cast Bernie Sanders as a counterpart to Shirley Chisholm, but when he was in the running, he was often being compared to George McGovern, with McGovern as being too liberal a challenger to take on Nixon, and therefore because McGovern lost to Nixon, a Sanders candidacy would lose to Trump. But in fact, if you examine history, at least through the lens of this show, Mrs. America, Chisholm is the challenger, the challenger far to the left of McGovern, and McGovern is the one that's more like Biden, who ends up losing to Nixon. And, you know, who knows what'll happen with Biden and Trump in 2020.
Yeah, so let's hope that's not a foreshadowing. But, you know, one thing that Bernie was criticized and Shirley was criticized for was hanging on to their delegates. So she went into Miami, the DNC that year, Democratic National Convention, was in Miami. She was refusing to step down, even though, you know, they were saying we need a united front, which is
right.
Also
she held on a lot firmer. She held on a lot firmer than Sanders has held on.
That's true. And, you know, but the unfortunate thing is she just gave in. She didn't get anything for those candidates, for those votes, you know, something like, okay, I'll give up my votes, but you have to talk about the ERA. And in fact, McGovern's, you know, campaign sold out the ERA. At least that's what they show in the show, that Steinem makes a deal with his sort of front runner guy of the campaign, and then at the last minute they sell him out and they don't move on it. So it's super unfortunate. You know, but I think right now to have a conversation about the Equal Rights Amendment is really important. You know, it still hasn't been passed. Virginia just passed, is the 38th state now, from January. In January it passed. So, you know, it was supposed to have 38 states by 1978, I want to say, and then it was extended to 82. And, you know, we're still in a fight. And it's like, well, why does the ERA matter? A documentary was produced by Patricia Arquette in 2016, led by Kamala Lopez, who's an actress. And it's called Equal Means Equal. And it shows that actually we're still considered, you know, property in the Constitution, that females actually are not considered equal under the Constitution. And that plays out so clearly in courtrooms, you know, from domestic violence to when women protect themselves against, you know, if they're like one in nine, how is it? Eight of nine women. This is the wrong statistic, but a majority, like there's many women in prison because they kill them, their husbands or their men who are trying to kill them. But they're not let off, you know,
so they're standing up against domestic violence.
Yes, but they're not protected in the same way that men are, in the Constitution. So that's why it still really matters. You know, I think people portray it as something archaic, but it's actually very crucial, and it's all about equal rights, right? So in the workplace, and this spin, I think that's the most relevant piece of this show, is showing how Phyllis spun the ERA to make it about like women are going to be drafted, you know, our little girls are going to have to be soldiers in Vietnam, which had nothing to do with any of the things that the ERA was addressing.
Right. Fake news, right?
That's
we talk
right.
about the idea of fake news today and the spinning of alternative facts. But that was really the exact same tool, set of tools that conservative character like Phyllis Schlafly used in making the Equal Rights Amendment to be about something completely different than what was actually about. The show also portrays a little bit of the origins of Ms. Magazine, a magazine that broke ground and that's still around today. Overall, would you say that it offers an important history lesson, especially for young people, young women and men who might not be familiar with this history of nearly 50 years ago, as an entryway into, you know, looking at it and digging into the actual history?
I really hope so. You know, I hope people will want to learn more and really do their own sort of investigation. I don't know why Hollywood has to actually highlight these very dark right-wing characters. I think for Kate Blanchett, she even said her mom asked her, you know, why would you play that character? And she said, like, we all have flaws, you know. And I think it's a problem that Hollywood seeks to humanize these very right-wing characters. I mean, I realize that we're all human and we do get to reach for each other, but I think, you know, as a young woman, I would have been more interested in having a series that's revolved around Shirley's character or Gloria Steinem's character of, like, what does it mean to found a feminist magazine in the midst of, you know, civil rights and women's movement, and right. and what could that look like today? You know, what's really lacking here, if we talk about today, is like the Me Too movement and any sort of women's movement. I mean, there's lots of stuff being led by Indigenous women, and it has been that way for years, and of course Black women, but what gets the spotlight are Hollywood superstars leading the movement. So that was one of the main flaws with the Me Too movement, right?
Right. So this Hollywood's need to provide balance, quote unquote,
yeah, right.
in humanizing these characters. You know, certainly it's maybe people can binge watch the show during quarantine and decide for themselves how our discussion stacked up with their experience of it. Stephanie, thank you as always for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Stephanie Abraham. She's a writer and media critic. She helped to found the feminist magazine Makeshift and was a founding editor of the magazine Loudmouth. Her works have been published in McSweeney's, Al Jazeera, Mizna, and Beach Magazine. And she's the pop culture correspondent and film critic for Rising Up. We've been discussing the new Hulu show, Mrs. America. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes, and now Spotify.